I told you about a book. I was blessed to come down one day in December. We were in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We were staying at the Ritz-Carlton there. It's a nice resort in San Juan. And I came down, and there was Brother David sitting in the lobby with this book reading. And he had already begun marking it up and telling me what a life changer it had been for his life. David was reading Identification, and Mary was reading The Believer's Authority by Brother Kenneth Hagin. And David said, "This book has explained and opened my eyes to so many things." I had told you it is a powerful book, and every believer should read it. And just in case you have been a disobedient member of the house of the Lord and have not gone to the Word Shop yet or gone online, you can buy it online. If you don't want to get the little tiny book, you can even go online and find it online and download the book, which is one of the things that I've done, and I have it in a three-ring binder because I like to make big notes, and it's hard to make big notes on these little pages. But if you are a mother present today, and you're a good mother, bad mothers remain seated, but if you're a good mother, the first good mama that grabs that, she can add that to her reading. If you hesitate, you do without. I know for some of y'all that was such a flash, you weren't able to discern exactly who that was. They were moving so quickly, but that was Ethel. When Lou and I were in making our trip to Reno a few months ago in the airport, there was a chocolate shop, and I looked over, and sure enough, they had sugar-free chocolates. Sugar-free dark chocolates. And so I went over to buy a few a tiny bag or two. Went over to buy a few pounds of chocolate, because I knew it'd be at least a couple hours waiting. I mean, you know, pound of chocolate an hour, that works out about right. I was pacing myself. I didn't want to, you know, just gobble it all down. And they handed me the bag that they put my gold-wrapped chocolates in, and the bag said, "Ethel M. Chocolates." I couldn't think of who I could give that bag to. But there is a company named Ethel M. Chocolates. God is good, and we're going to learn more about Him today. I encourage you, go to the Word Shop and get the book. Go online and download it, Identification by E.W. Kenyon, and get the book. It is life-changing. And so we're going to start today with notes on the book. And if you haven't read the book yet, this will be an introduction. If you have, it'll be a rehearsal of the truths you've learned. Perhaps one of the most important books a believer can read after the New Testament or New Covenant is the book by E.W. Kenyon, Identification. I sometimes refer to the New Testament as the New Covenant because Testament is a covenant, and some people ask me, "What are you talking about when you say the New Covenant?" It is the New Testament by its true name, a new covenant that God has given us that lists within that covenant His will of all that He wants us to have as His children. Until one knows who they are in the anointed Redeemer, they will never come to full stature ability. I want to stop here for a second, and at the risk of being repetitive, religion, and you can put that in parentheses, churchanity, has destroyed the power of being born again's fullness for many people by preaching on sin, preaching on the devil, preaching on evil. No one ever comes to full maturity because they repent of their sins. You horrible, evil, ugly, nasty, dirty sinners, you need to repent of your sins. Well, first of all, the person saying that is not intelligent enough to understand what they're saying. The word repent is taken from two Greek words paired together, which means to change your mind. Repent does not mean to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it 18 times. Or was it 19? Let me think. Oh, yeah, it's 19. Could have been 20. No. Saying you're sorry has nothing to do with being born again. Listing a bunch of things you did wrong and going back over. Paul said, every time I remember what I'm not to do, I remember doing what I'm not to do. Because with the remembrance of the law, you know, don't you steal, and you remember the time you did, just like that. Or lie, cheat, fornicate, whatever it was. Some of them sins you linger on longer than others because you aren't totally through with it yet. But being born again has nothing to do with being sorry. It has nothing to do with listing sins that you committed. If you'll just come down this aisle with them tears stringing down your face and come to this here altar and weep them bitter tears of repentance. How many of you weep bitter tears every time you change your mind? And ask God to forgive you of your dastardly, evil, ugly, nasty, filthy self. In His mercy, He will forgive you and receive you. No, no, no. He said, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus, Yeshua, the anointed Redeemer, is Lord, having conquered death, hell, and the grave. If you'll believe in your heart, not your blood pump, your belly, the seat of all true emotion. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, meaning established His lordship over all that separated man from God. If you'll confess His lordship, He'll receive you into that lordship. And then the church gets busy teaching you that you're just a dirty, nasty old sinner saved by grace. No. There is no such thing as a sinner saved by grace. That's like a hot, frozen steak. There ain't no hot, frozen steak. It's either hot or it's frozen. You're either born again or you're not. Well, Pastor, that mean after I'm born again and become a member of the family of God, I never sin again? If you believe that, I've got some beachfront property in New Mexico I want to sell you. No, church. Paul said, just don't get excited about it. Yes, once you're born again, you're still going to lose it from time to time. You're still going to make mistakes, but it don't count. Why? Because He did not go. Here's another big lie of the church. Yeshua, the anointed Redeemer, did not go to the cross for your sins. He didn't go for your sins or your sins or your sins or your sins. He didn't go to the cross for anybody's sins. He went to the cross to destroy the power of sin, period, to hold you in captivity. Yes, and I know it makes these colorful, dramatic sermons. He hung on the cross, and in great agony He died for that time you talked ugly to your mama. Oh, shut up, fool. You got to understand, He didn't go for your sin. He went for sin, period. Yes, sir. Which would you rather have, a dollar from the mint or the mint? Because if I have the mint, I have all the dollars it can produce. Now, do you want forgiveness of your sin, or do you want cleansing from sin, period? So I have living in me the answer to every wrong that ever was, ever is, or ever will be. Pastor, that's inarticulate usage of the English grammar. Yeah, I'll probably mess up a few more phrases. If I leave a dangling participle, just go ahead and pick it off and put it off to the side. But until you know who you are in the anointed Redeemer, He became one with me in my fallen condition, that I could become one with him seated at the right hand of God. To do the works of our Lord, one must have their identity in the Lord confirmed in their heart and in their mind. That's why our Lord said, Gail, in your conversion, I will write my word on your heart and on your mind. Pastor, how does he do that? 10:17 of Romans. Faith, the ability to become one with God in agreement, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So every time I hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit inscribes it on my mind and my heart. And by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, it's like engraving. Those of you who've ever done engraving, you want to etch a favorite knife or gun or something, and you notice that if you just do a little etch, it's noticeable, you can see it. But the more that you use that etching tool, the deeper it goes into it, the more pronounced it becomes, the fuller and more recognizable it is. Every time Bob hears, "With his stripes you were made whole," it gets a little clearer, a little deeper. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And each time you hear a promise of God, it didn't say each time you hear a message. Because understand this, there's a whole lot of messages being taught in a whole lot of pulpits today, and God will never remind anybody of anything that was said. Why? Because it's drivel, it's trash, it's garbage. Emotional sentimentality, superfluity of speech. Identification for the believer refers to their complete union with our Redeemer. The Word of God says to you, as he is now, seated, risen, triumphant, victorious, in union with the God of all creation, at the right hand of the Father, as he is, so are you right now, because when you receive his lordship, you become one with all his lordship accomplished. People go, well, Pastor, can't we lose it? How can I lose it when I'm sitting next to it? How can I lose it when I'm seated in it? How can I lose it when I have it in me and more abundantly? I didn't receive an act of salvation. I received a Savior. And that's why that junk about repenting of your sins, asking him to forgive you, and all of that mess is so weak, because in that you receive a Savior. But hon, any of you that's ever had a water experience, you know what I'm talking about. One night I'm trying to swim lake. We'd gone up to Lake Travis for a men's group, and I was a young idiot teenager, and some of the guys said, "Bet you can't swim the lake." You don't say that to me. So I swam the lake. The only thing that didn't occur to me was everything was on the other side. I almost didn't make it back. I stopped so many times in that lake to tread water and get my breath that you would have thought I was on a milk run. It almost killed me. When you're young, you do stupid things. One night we were at a men's retreat on Lake Austin. And one of the guys said, "I bet you can't row this boat with all four of us in it to Mansfield Dam and back." Weeks later, Napoleon, weeks later, there was this throbbing down the back. But I did it. I got that $5. Kill myself for a fiver. Of course, back then, that was a tank of gas. So. Nowadays, $5 bill, you just wave it over the tank and hope for something. It won't get you anywhere. I want you to be an identification, not with a Savior. I know we think of the songs, "Oh, what a Savior." No, I don't need a Savior, period. I need a Savior, a healer, a redeemer, a provider, a keeper, a sustainer, an ever-present help in time of need. I need a Lord who has already conquered everything that will ever come my way and said, here, wear my crown. Please, don't be offended by this, but do not seek your identification with being born again. I got saved. No, you didn't. Nobody ever gets saved. You either receive a Savior or it didn't work. Identification for the believer refers to their complete union with our Redeemer in His substitutionary sacrifice, His resurrection, and His seating in triumph at the right hand of God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 11, or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ have been immersed into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through immersion into death, so that as Christ, the Anointed One, was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, or the manifest presence of the Father, glory there meaning the manifest presence, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. When you identify with a Redeemer instead of an act of salvation, the whole world changes for you. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this. That lets you know you should highlight or underline that. Knowing this, that our old self, who we used to be, died with Him in order that our body of sin, not our sin, but our body of sin, the ability to sin, that which is born of God, sins not, that our body of sin might be done away with. Atoned for or done away with? Atoned for, it can pop back up. Done away with, it's over. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin, not is forgiven for his past sins, and now becomes responsible for his future sins. No. I died to sin's ability to hold me captive if I identify with His Lordship. If I identify with Him as Savior, I'm still in a heap of trouble because I got to walk this lonely road. That we would no longer be slaves. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Not if we believe that He saved us. No, I died with Him. I was buried with Him. I was resurrected with Him. I was seated with Him. I have my identity in who He is now. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. And if He is never to die again, I'm never to die again. But Pastor, you know the Scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Well, I got a better deal. I could be judged and die with Him, and I never have to die again. I have my once judged and once dead, and now I live eternally with Him. I may change houses, but I'll never change lives. Kind of knocks some of those old hymns, and then, I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. No. No, I just get an improved version of the life I already have. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Kind of knocks rededication in the head, doesn't it? But the life that he lives to God. Even so, understanding this, coming to this level of understanding, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. What does that mean, Pastor? Determine, I just don't go there anymore. I don't go there anymore. Because I'm here. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but the Anointed One lives in me. And the life which I now live in this fleshly temple, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Well, Pastor, that's nice words, but what does it mean? It means that when I come to identification in him, then every day the life I'm living cannot be guilty if everything I do is paid for. If someone said to you, I want you to go over to pick a store. What's a good store?
Harbor Freight.
Man's getting him some tools. Y'all thought that was a laugh of humor on her face. You should have seen the other corner of her mouth. It was going, fat chance. She's a good wife. She'll drive him past and let him look in the window. But somebody says, Napoleon, I've taken care of everything in Harbor Freight is free. Is he going in there with a small bag or with a big cart? No, he's backing the truck up to the front door and going, what did God say to you? All things are mine. Therefore, all things are. Yeah, the scripture says all things are yours. Daddy's done paid for the store. Well, Pastor, I'm getting my buzz on today. I'm going to get me a six-pack. No. Paul said, yeah, you can go there. But why would you do it? Why would you go to what messed you up in the first place when you can be free from that? There's so much more to life. Hun, until you got high on God, yeah, you ain't never. I mean, church, I did Cambodian black. I knew Acapulco gold on a first name. I hung with that stuff. I knew what it was to cure that stuff in speed. I know that high, but I can tell you this. There's a high in God that can't touch, and I never come down from it. But I do get the munchies with God. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ, the anointed Redeemer. I was judged with him. I was crucified with him. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was resurrected from the dead with him. And I'm seated together with him, God. That's my identity. Not, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm not. Sin has no place in your life when you come into identity that you are seated in him, with him, at the Father's right hand. For by grace, not by works or deeds, not by confessing how wrong you were, not by feeling sorry or remorseful, for by grace, unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith. You believed what God did for you and received it and stepped into it. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Both faith and grace are a gift. In other words, the price, grace, and the ability to access the price, faith, are gifts of God. There are stages or levels a believer should mark and be changed by in their growth into identification of the new creature they have become in the anointed Redeemer. Not understanding and embracing these stages or levels of realization can limit one from walking in full authority or ability. The levels of awareness in the new covenant believer's life are tied to the scriptural mandate for that stage of advancement. I find what the Word says, I believe it, I receive it, and accept it as my own. A new covenant believer is a citizen of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light. Their citizenship is enhanced as they take advantage of the keys to the kingdom. I've been sharing with you on Wednesday night the keys of the kingdom. God said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Pastor, what are the keys of the kingdom? Every promise in your new covenant is a key to one room in the kingdom. I find the key. With his stripes, you were healed. I take that key and I access being healed. And now I have kingdom life living in me, and I am the healed of the Lord. My God supplies all of my need. I take that key and I tell need, need, you no longer have a place in my house. Because I receive this word as my word, my God supplies all of my need. But Pastor, I'm on a fixed income. No, that's a broke income. Broke is not God's will. Understand this. If you believe you must live within the limits of your paycheck, you don't know God. If you let your paycheck determine how you live, now don't get stupid and start writing faith checks. No, just realize this. God, if I need it, if I want it, if I desire it, it belongs to me because you said you supply all of my need. You give me my heart's desire. But I want you to get it for me. I don't want to use you to get it. You use the keys of the kingdom, which are passages of promise in the new covenant, to gain entrance to the inner chamber, inner courts of the kingdom, where those things are a reality. I can walk into healing. I don't ask God to heal me. I walk into the healing that belongs to me in the kingdom. I don't ask for God to prosper me. I walk into the blessing he said belongs to me. I use the key of Scripture to take possession of what's mine. Quit asking God to do for you what Scripture says belongs to you, and use the key to take ownership. Level one of identity, the new birth, conversion, salvation, the act of being born again. Make sure you got it right when you went there and that you didn't leave something on the table. I've told you, as a child of God, don't ever leave nothing on the table. Be sure that you've got everything that's available before you leave. Stack your plate up. Get sideboards if you have to, but don't leave nothing on the table. Level one has compartments that we must explore to come to identity at this level. Not gaining these insights in the mysteries of the called out ones, because you're not a Christian, you're a called out one. You're ecclesia, meaning called out, will result in stunted growth. God had an original intent for the man he had created. You heard Sister Michelle refer earlier to the book in the bookstore, Original Intent. It's life-changing, church. Every believer needs to understand God's original intent for man. To rule and reign in the earth in relationship with him and under him. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. It's God's will for you to rule over creation, not other people. That's where religion messes up, because they're always trying to rule other people. The fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You see, he knew about politicians before there were any. In our image, in our likeness, an exact duplication in kind. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, in the image likeness of God, he created him male and female. He created them. God called their name Adam. Adam says, no, I'll be Ish, and she'll be Ish-Ash, out of Ish, or out of Adam. Man and woman bore the likeness of God. There are no second-class citizens. Men and women are equal in God. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over it. He didn't say, let it rule over you. Subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blessed them to be his under rulers. Man connected to God has this job description: God in the earth.
Yes.
Things went well with man and God, and their relationship grew as they communed on a daily basis. Then man, through doubting God, allowed unbelief to separate him from God said. The key to all ability in God is God said, and becoming one with it. Now the serpent, understand this, the serpent didn't have power over Adam. The only way he could get power over Adam was to get Adam to doubt who he was, what he had, what he could do. The devil didn't come to him all powerful and go, "Adam, you my boy from today forward. I own you." No. He had to get Adam to use his relationship with God to empower him. Adam empowered the devil with his faith. How did that happen, Pastor? The devil lied to Adam. Adam doubted what God said, believed what the devil said, and by believing, listen, by believing what the devil said, Adam gave the devil the power to use his own power to enslave him. But today, Ethel finds a passage of Scripture, and she uses that Scripture and puts faith in that Scripture, and she empowers God to do what that promise said in her life. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle." Man in the middle made a mistake. "Of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, or touch it, or you will die." See, she's adding to what God said. The serpent said to the woman, "Girl, you should not surely die." You see, God's holding out on you. He knows the moment you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him and know both good and evil. Now, at this point, she knew good, so what could she gain? Evil. And the evil would destroy the good, and now, since good and evil can't dwell in the same spot, she's out of good. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." No, they'll be closed to the truth of faith and love. "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the serpent reached over, got one, said, And she said, "Well, nothing happened to him. He wasn't under command. She was. And that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Failing to remain one with God said, failing to remain one with God said, was the root cause of man's loss of identity in God. It will be the same in your life. Always remain one with God said. God wanted his relationship with man and earth to be restored. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, unique, begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, be cut off, but shall have eternal life. Love moved God to action, and faith works by love. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, condemn the world, belittle the world, point out their shortcomings, but that the world might be saved through him. The purpose was not judgment of fallen man, but restoration of man in a new identity. How is it that people have attached the act of receiving Jesus as your Savior to enumerating your sins, when God said it's sin that divides you? Why bring what divides you to the God you want to be united with? The purpose was not judgment of fallen man, but restoration of man in a new identity. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things that used to be in your life are passed away. Behold, new things that are of God have come to you. A new species of being is not a paint job or a repair. New means different. And a new creature, a new species, needs a new identity. No longer a sinner, a failure, cut off from God by unbelief, but now of God, in God, and with God. Say this with me. I am of God. I am with God. I am in God by the resurrected life that I now receive. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to know God reconciled your checkbook. And he made a deposit big enough to cover all your withdrawals. And gave us the ministry of reconciling others to God. Namely, that God was, in the anointed Redeemer, reconciling the world to himself. Not counting their trespass against him. You mean some preacher lied to me when he told me that God was making record of every sin I'd ever committed and someday I was going to answer for it? Yeah, he lied to you. Flat out, bold-faced lied to you. Because right here it says, not counting their trespasses against them. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, he tells you again, the word of a promise is the key that unlocks what that promise describes. What are the keys of the kingdom? They're the words of my new covenant, Friday, that unlock whatever that promise says belongs to me. The keys of the kingdom are not some far-out mystery, and it's not something you want to get on a chain, dangle on your belt, so you can tell everybody, I got the keys to the kingdom. No, the keys are the scripture passages that allow Kenneth to stick that word into God's bank and withdraw what that word promised as a benefit of being in the kingdom. Fallen man is reconciled, reconciled to God, relationship capable. The new man is given a ministry task to expand the new identity they have been entrusted with, infect others with the truth. To understand this, we go to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace, God's unmerited favor, you have been redeemed through faith in that redemption, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. His work, through his grace, favor, unlocked by our faith, which he authored and brings to a finished product, granted us this new identity. I'm in him. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Because I don't have to pray God down. That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead because he's no longer dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, your key to unlock his promises. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, your Lord, Lord of everything that's hindered and held you back. And believe in your heart that God did that for you so that you could be one with him. That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in being in right standing with God. And with the mouth he confesses, decrees, professes what has happened in him, which results in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. You'll get what you believe. The right standing of man with God starts with believing God to the point of acting on that belief. The same way in reverse, Adam believed a word, acted on it, and lost relationship. Verse 8 reveals a key, the word. The word has come to you. Now give that key utterance and say that key word that gives you that key promise. Verse 9, believe in His Lordship victory over all. Lay this truth up in your heart and then give His truth your voice. I believe He was raised from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, that He was seated in triumph at the right hand of God and is making intercession for me, and I am seated in Him. Verse 10, believe His word, give voice to His word, receive His gift through His Lordship. Level 2 of identity, being immersed into His new life for identification with His Lordship and a public testimony of change. Water baptism is not about getting wet. Water baptism is not about some mystical ceremony of the church. Water baptism is your testimony to the devil, to the demons, to the witnesses in heavenly places when you step into that water voluntarily and allow a minister of the gospel to lower you below that water, which is a form of a grave. You go into that watery grave saying, I am identifying with His death, His burial, His resurrection. He let them nail Him to a tree. I'm letting someone put me under identity with His death. That minister lowers you beneath the water, then lifts you up out of the water, and it says, I was with Him in death. I am now with Him in resurrection. I am a new creation in God because I have now given public testimony to what happened in me. Water baptism is not about joining the church. It's about telling everybody you're a new person in Him. It's about identifying with His death, burial, and resurrection. I would not be joined to a woman who would not take my name. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, there's a whole lot of people trying to be joined to God who don't want to take His name. I could never trust a woman who wouldn't take my name. Why? Because she doesn't want her identity in me. She wants to have her identity separate from me. I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be called a Christian. I don't want to be identified as a Christian. Christian means slave of Christ. I'm not a slave of Christ. I'm one with Him. I am His own possession. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir and joint heir. I am God in the earth. This lack of identity with me will separate us at many levels. Bearing my name gives her covering in me and identity with me. It causes her to carry me with her wherever her identity goes. Take the name of Jesus with you. Only His name wasn't Jesus, it was Yeshua, Redeemer. I am the redeemed. And so He said, let the redeemed say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Romans 6, 1 through 11. Well, we've read that passage already for the sake of the message. You can read it later at home. But first, I receive His Lordship. I enter into His Lordship. I become one with His Lordship. Then I'm baptized as a public testimony of what took place. I am baptized into His death. Isaiah says deaths, D-E-A-T-H-S, deaths, because there was a physical death, a spiritual death, and a separation death. But I'm buried with Him. I'm resurrected with Him. I am now seated with Him. And because I've entered into that death, I am free, not from my past sins. I am free from sin's ability to keep me from God's presence. Water immersion unto identification is a public testimony of and witness to the new species creation you have become, how it occurred, and who receives honor in it. I am judged with Him. I am buried with Him. I'm resurrected with Him. I'm now one with Him. Level 3 of identity. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies. I am a spirit. I have a mind. I live in a body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Make your body do this. This is your reasonable spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't let the world shape you in its mold and image. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can't identify with what my mind doesn't think like. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and mature, perfect, by application of the keys in your new covenant. The new you must be developed through becoming familiar with the operator's manual, the new covenant. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Anointed words of promise are keys to unlock his presence to you. Mind washing or brain washing is an invention of God. Wrong thoughts divided man from God. Right thoughts can restore identity to or with God. And then I list a number of scriptures there you can look up when you get home. Level 4 of identity. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative or volition, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Receiving the teacher, the immerser, the guide, the revealer, the Spirit of the Word, or the life nature of the Word, of the new covenant, is this fourth level of identity. When I let the Holy Spirit possess me, empower me, infuse me, equip me, anoint me, I can walk in the new identity I have. But you will receive power. The word power there is actually authority. But you will receive anointed authority to operate in the truth you're now a part of. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Not you'll witness about me. You will be a savior, a healer, a deliverer, a dead people raiser, a demon caster out. You will be a witness to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. This stuff works anywhere you are. You believe, will receive authority after the Spirit of truth comes upon you, the Holy Spirit, to lead you and guide you in all truth, to reveal to you word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, dreams and visions. And it will come about that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Yeshua, will be delivered, the Son of God. I have been given the name redeemed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision, even on the male and female servants. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. God said, it's my will for every man and woman to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, decreeing my works in the earth. Becoming who you are to be in the anointed Redeemer has levels that you enter into. Being born again is a starting place. It's not a finished work. Pastor, didn't you leave an area out? Isn't there a fifth level in here of identity? Yes, but it's so misunderstood, I wanted to give it to you without it being in your notes. You know what the fifth level is? Prayer. I gain identity by praying God's word. Prayer is not, oh God, get me that orange dress. You know not everybody can wear orange, but God, you know I look good in orange. God, give me that orange dress, because if I had that orange dress, God, I could really represent you. No. Guys, God, you know Ruger's done brought out that new LCRX 38 special with a 3-inch barrel. You know that's a fine-looking weapon. It was just designed for concealed carry. You don't want me going around flashing, God. You know I need... That's not prayer. Although I could pray that prayer. Ruger LCX, wow. No, prayer is this. It's not asking God for something. It's not begging. It's not crying. It's not pleading. Real prayer is returning God's word to Him. Father, I thank You that You said with the stripes I was healed. Since You said I was healed, I am healed, and I receive Your word performed in my life. And from this day forward, I judge me healed. Now lying sickness, go from my body. Prayer is not asking God to do something. Prayer is reminding God of what He's already done. Well, Pastor, what if He doesn't have what I said? His word says, I don't pray, God, get me that orange dress. I pray, God, You said that if I would seek first the kingdom of God, You would see to it I had raiment. Yes. I'm just reminding you, orange is the raiment I'm looking for. Let me make sure, did anyone wear orange today? Just checking to make sure. And if you do, brothers, have that new Ruger LCRX 38. I'll see you after church. We'll identify with your blessing together. Church, prayer is never, God, would you, could you, should you, how come you haven't? Prayer says, God, Your word says that You have redeemed me from my falling short. Therefore, before this happened, You already covered it. So I just want to come before You and celebrate the integrity of Your word that has redeemed me from what I done did. Before I did it, You redeemed me. Stop begging God to do what He's already done. He's already saved. Receive His salvation. He's already healed. Receive His healing power. He's already delivered. Receive His deliverance. Prayer returns God's word to Him. And in your new covenant, there is a promise that covers everything you'll ever want, need, or desire. Did you get anything today? If you haven't already gotten the book Identification, we will be going through it over the next couple of weeks. Not next Sunday, because Brad will be here. But we will be going through the book because I want you to get it. I want you to learn it. I will not be passing out copies of the book because that's illegal. But church, get the book. You can download it online. You can buy it from the Word Shop. But don't just get the book. Get the book in you. Because when you know who you are, people will judge you as cocky. They'll judge you as assured. Well, I am. I'm assured that I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And He has given me His word to bring those heavenly blessings alive in my life down here. His promises and my new covenant are the keys of the kingdom that allow me to unlock what's already mine. Church, develop your identity so that if somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night from a deep, sound sleep, who are you? I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Because I don't want my identity in Jimmy D. Lillard. I want my identity in Him. And just in case you were wondering, I don't know who provided the pictures or how they got on the overhead, but there will be no discussion of those silly sideburns. None. Elvis is dead and so are my sideburns. But they were cute. In their place, the distant past. I was cooled by another measuring stick back then. May I bless you. Father, on this Mother's Day, I lift not just the mothers, but every participant in this congregation before You. And I break every lie, every curse, every incantation, every soulish prayer, every fleshly judgment, every work of evil arrayed against any person at the sound of my voice. I break it. I curse it, I cast it down, and call it null and void of effect. And I lose to them the blessing of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, in your finances, in your labors, in all that you do. Everything you set your hand to prospers. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And from this day forward, the wicked one touches you not. But in everything, you abound in all fullness and succeed with God's glorious presence and power. And the people said,
Amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.